Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you once again. Good to be back in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It's not my intention to keep you too long tonight. I realize I may have gone a little bit over time this morning. I'm usually not a long-winded speaker or a long-winded preacher, but sometimes I surprise myself. But I just felt the blessing of the Lord and the quickening of the Lord, and so you don't like to cut it off when it's like that. I remember being in a place, I won't say where it was, but I was in a certain place, and the Holy Spirit was really there, and the presence of the Lord was there in such a wonderful way, and they finished the pastor just closed the meeting. And I was just saying, well, I felt that service could have gone on. He said, I felt the Lord told me to close it. Well, I thought, that's the first time I've ever heard God telling somebody to close his meeting when the presence of God's there. So, I just want to be open to the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to move. I don't want to go longer than I drive the people if it's not the Spirit of God. But if the Holy Spirit's there, then we just want to be yielding to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's not the preacher that's going to help you. It's not any human that's going to help you. It's going to be God. And so if his presence is there, let's be open to it. You know, Brother Brown made a statement. He talked about faith, and he said, act upon that sensation, or that little that impulse. And sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit can be moving on a person, speaking to a person, and we can miss it. So, you know, sometimes you just get that little quickening there. You act upon that. You just believe that. Take God at his word. Tonight, amen. So we just believe God that he'll once again help us tonight. I was in a little bit of a quandary what to speak on tonight. But I thought I'll just kind of take a short message this evening. At least I hope it's going to be short. I don't want to be found a false witness. Praise the Lord. So we want to go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 9. We'd just like to read a few verses there. John chapter 9 verse 1 through to verse 5. I guess before we would read the scripture, should we just bow our heads for prayer? Heavenly Father, once again, we just want to thank you. We're able to come tonight. We're able to come, Lord. We have the freedom, Lord. We have the right, Lord. We're not going to be persecuted. We're not going to be taken away and imprisoned, Lord, or put to death, Father. Lord, we have that privilege and that right. We pray that God will ever be grateful for it and will ever redeem the times in which we're living, Father. So, Father, we pray tonight that God, as we're gathered here, Lord, I guess in the natural we're tired, we're weary. But Lord, would you just overrule all of that, Lord, by your Holy Spirit? Would you strengthen us? Would you quicken us tonight, Father? Lord, would you just help us tonight once again, Father? Lord, we're ever needful, Lord. This morning was this morning, that's gone, Father. Last night was last night, that's gone. But Lord, tonight, Father, we come again, Lord, to that great throne of grace, Lord. We pray for strength and help in time of need. And truly today, we are living in a time of need. So Father, we come once again to draw upon that inexhaustible and everlasting supply of God's grace and God's strength through Jesus Christ. Lord, we just want to give you thanks and praise, Father. So help us tonight as we would once again read from your word, Father. May the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven unfold thy word to us, quicken it to us, Lord. And Father, let that be our stand, Lord. Let that be our foundation, Father. Let that be our trust in thee this night, we pray. Lord, we can commit all things to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 9 verse 1 through to verse 5. And Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh and no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In the name of the Lord, bless his word. Please take your seats. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like the story of that blind man. Praise God. Remember those Pharisees came to him, they tried to just trip him up and so forth. But you know, a man that's had an experience with God, a man that's really met with God, can stand against anything, can stand against anybody. No matter how much those Pharisees would know of the the fundamentals of the law of Moses and so forth. When a man's met God, he's big enough for anything. Praise the Lord. Those Pharisees said, you want to give God the glory? We know this man's a sinner. He didn't get into some doctrinal debate. He said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, one thing I know, once I was blind, now I can see. Amen. Well, the best theologian in the world can't argue with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing. I want to speak tonight just for a few moments on the thought of, and I want you to hear this title, don't get it mixed up, when the gospel of a message is not the message of the gospel. Amen. When the gospel of a message is not the message of the gospel. Every church today, if it's a Christian church and claims to have Christ as a head, is commissioned by a head to preach the gospel. If she's claiming to be a church that's following Jesus Christ and has Jesus Christ as a head, she is commanded by a head to preach the gospel. As I was mentioning this morning, there's maybe many areas that we could maybe kind of differ on, but here's one thought or one thing that there's no scope for debate. She is commissioned by a head to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. And if she's not doing that, if she's not doing what her head told her to do, then she's really not in subjection under a head. She's got another headship. She might claim him to be head, she might claim him to be Lord, but really she's not in subjection to her head. She's not in subjection to her Lord. Praise the Lord. So we have, the church has been given that commission to preach the gospel. Because I know I'm speaking to people that are very aware of this tonight, but you know, it's the gospel that's changing lives.
Amen.
The only thing that can change a life is the gospel of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
The only thing that can break the chains of the enemy or the devil is the gospel of Jesus Amen. Christ. People are not set free through theology or how much depth or they understand the things of God. They are set free simply by the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
I like the thought there that speaking about the simplicity of God, it's very, very easy for each one of us, to very easily move away from the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so easily done, and that to me today there seems to be such a pressure around the church, around the people of God today, to get away from the simplicity of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's a real reflection. It's taking us back to as it was at the beginning. You can go into the book of Genesis and you can see the seeds there. Brother Man called it the seed chapping. It truly is that you can see that things were being sown there. But what was happening there, you can see it perfectly happening today. What was taking place there, we see it so clearly happening today. And especially in religion, you see, the real problem was when it was man's desire for more knowledge. The real issue was that he was given an opportunity through the serpent, or Satan speaking through the serpent there, said, you can become as God. Well, that's quite an offer. Amen. And you see, I guess anybody, if they're not careful, is going to be taken up with that offer. Well, it's pretty much the same kind of offer that's being made today.
Right.
You can have a deeper revelation of God's Word. And I do believe you can have a deeper revelation of God's Word, but it's always in the Word.
Amen.
You don't have deeper revelations of God's Word, and you cannot prove it by the Word. You see, if you cannot prove it by Scripture, if you cannot back it up by Scripture, it's not the revelation of God. If it's a revelation of God, we can always go back to the Word of God and see it in the Word of God. We might discuss the issue of water baptism. Now that is a mystery. But whether it's a mystery or not, I believe that we could sit down and discuss it in fellowship, and we could show by the Word of God that to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is scriptural. You understand? You see, whatever mysteries there are in the Bible, whatever things there are in the Bible, there always has to be the Scriptures to qualify them. You see, many years ago, people used to make a statement. They used to talk to people and say, well, if you can't see it, it's not for everybody. Well, it might be true that it's not for everybody, but you're still going to be able to prove it by the Bible. It might be true that it's not given to everybody to see, but whether it is or it's not, it has still got to be shown by the Word of God. Now, until God opens your eyes, you won't see it. But my point is that it's got to have its foundational basis in the Word of God. It's no good saying, oh, it's a mystery, brother, it's not for everybody. Well, that's okay, but you know, you've got to prove it by the Bible. Because this is the foundation, this is the thing that we're going to stand by. And there's so much today that is like that. It's a bit like the king in his suit of clothes when they come along and say, oh, isn't he wonderful? Look how great he is. But you see, the whole thing was a big con. And there was a little boy around there that hadn't been to church, so he didn't know when to say amen in the right place or hallelujah in the right place. He said, well, the guy's naked.
Amen.
He's got no clothes on. And you see, sometimes it's good to come back to tell the basic truth about it. If it's dead, it's dead. If there's no light there, there's no life there.
Amen.
No matter how much you shout, no matter how much you want to work it up or whip it up, if there's no life there, there's no life there. You see, God doesn't need to be defended. He can defend himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we look in the book of Genesis in the seed chapter. You think about it. Even before man fell. I'm speaking about the simplicity of God. You see, the things of God are simple. It's not complicated. It's very, very simple. Man makes it complicated. Man makes it difficult. But God, in his purity, in his simplicity, it is always very, very simple. Think about it, right at the beginning there, even before the fall, before man had fallen, before sin had entered the world, God spoke to Adam, his son there. He said, now you can eat of all the trees in the garden there. You can do that, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't touch it, because in that day you'll die. Well, remember, here's God speaking to a man that's not even sinned, he's not even fallen, he's not subject to the fall, and yet God's instructions to that man in that condition are so plain, they are so simple, they are so clear. So if God made it so clear to the man in his unfallen condition, how much more plain and clear has he got to make it to you and me in our fallen condition? If he made it simple for Adam in his unfallen state before the sin came, before the fall came, then how much clearer, how much simple is he going to make it for you and me? I believe it's simple, I believe it's clear. That God wants us to know his word, that we'll stand on his word. It is not difficult, it's not complicated, it is simple. Praise be to God. So every church today, I believe, if it's a Christian church, no matter where you would go, we could go into any denomination and any church, and they would claim to be preaching the gospel. And it's an awful thing to think about it, but in most denominational churches, you would go to those churches and you would hear the gospel. You would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a sad reflection on this movement that we're around today, that you could go there and in many cases you'd be lucky to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, you'd be lucky to hear the name of Jesus Christ even mentioned. Now that's a bad indictment on the thing, but that's the way it is. But you know, if she's claiming to be a church, as Christ is ahead, she is preaching the gospel. Praise be to God. And they all claim to be doing that. But there's a problem today. There's a real issue today that what they're claiming and what they're doing are two different things. What they're saying they're doing or they're claiming to be doing, in many cases, they're not. They're not preaching the message of the gospel in many cases, and in many places and in many churches, they are preaching the gospel of a message. And there's a big difference. We know the word gospel means the good news.
Amen.
So you can go to some churches and they're preaching the good news, but it's not the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of their message. That is not what is going to set the people free. That is not what is going to bring deliverance. That is not what's going to bring salvation. What is going to do those things is going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is going to set the people free today is going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we move away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, we move away from the delivering power of Jesus Christ. We move away from the healing power of Jesus Christ. We move away from the saving power of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel is the package, hallelujah,
Amen,
that God has sent to the earth and sent to his church today, but is going to set the people free. That's how we're going to come to God. The scripture says the gospel, hallelujah, is the power of God.
Amen.
Unto salvation to men that believe. Hallelujah. And it's never changed.
Amen.
And it will never change until Jesus comes. It'll always
Amen.
Be that way. Now there's a problem in the church age of Laodicea. Now I guess I'm speaking to people today that believe we're in the church age of Laodicea. It would be pretty difficult to say that we're not living in that age. Because the conditions we're seeing today, the things we're facing today, are absolutely just a perfect pattern of Laodicea. We know it means the rights of the people. Well, we're seeing those very things today. Everybody's got rights. You can see the rights amongst the homosexual. The whole thing's just a perversion. But people have got the rights. Because that's the age that you're living in. That's the church that you're living in. The church age that you're living in. So we're all facing these conditions. Praise the Lord. Now the churches are preaching, but they're preaching a gospel of their message, not the message of the gospel. You say, how do you know? By the results. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. Not by their claims, but by their fruits. Again, we go back to Genesis there. Remember, it began by a great claim. But it was a false claim. It began by Eve making a great claim that I've got a man from the Lord. Now you couldn't question that, but the Bible says in the process of time, they brought an offering. And it didn't matter what they claimed, when it started, came time to produce the fruits, it manifested what it was. You see, that's where we're at today. No matter what is being claimed today, there is coming a time when those seeds are going to become fruit. And those fruits are going to be manifest. You just can't stop it. So we seem to be living in a time like that. But I want you to look at the book of Revelation now just for a few moments. In that church age, the Laodicean church age. It's interesting, when I was studying this one time, I'd never seen it like this before. You know, the Bible calls this church, Jesus' indictment to this church age was that it was poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. I want to say something, this might be a bit of a shock to you here tonight, but listen, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that condition. There's nothing wrong with being poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked, because that's how every one of us came to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We came to Jesus Christ poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. You don't come to God any other way. But here was a church that was claiming to have come to Jesus Christ, was still in that condition. So there's a problem. Let's read something. It tells us there that Jesus, let's go from the first verse 14 of chapter 3. Message to Laodicea, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, Hallelujah, the faithful and the true witness. We're living in a time today, we're living in a day today where there are many unfaithful and there are many untrue witnesses. Not out in the world now, over in the church. The real problem isn't out there in the world. The world's doing exactly what the Bible said it would do. I haven't got a problem with the world, it's just doing exactly what the scripture said the world would do. The conditions of the world are exactly what... My real problem today is not out there, it's the church. My real issue today is not what's taking place in the world, it's what's taking place in the church. Why? Because there are many unfaithful and untrue witnesses. Remember, Jesus spoke that parable, he said, you know, right at the end there, he's going to send his angels and he's going to gather out of his kingdom. Where's the issue? In his kingdom. Where's the problem? In his kingdom. He will gather out of his kingdom all things that do iniquity and offend. So the problem's not going to be out there. It's going to be over in his kingdom. The issue is that where God's going to have to deal, the issue is going to be in his kingdom. It speaks also of the parable of the dragon. He said, Jesus gave us that parable. He said the net was dragged to shore and those angels went forth there and severed the wicked from among the just. Now, if that was evangelism as it should be, it would be the just from among the wicked. Because you were saved out of the world. But here's an issue. At the end there's going to be a severing. It's not going to be from the just from among the wicked. It's going to be the wicked from among the just. Do you understand what I'm saying? The problem is going to be over in the church. The great problem today is going to be over in the kingdom. You see, Satan's guns are trained on God's kingdom. Because he knows there is going to be a coming. He knows that Jesus is coming. All the demons of hell, all the powers of hell cannot stop that word from being fulfilled. If God said he's coming, hallelujah. If there's going to be a rapture, there's going to be a rapture. You know, unbelief doesn't stop God. All the unbelief in the world, if God said something, it's going to happen. So Satan concentrates all his weaponry, all his machinery, all his weapons against the kingdom of God to seek to hinder the purposes of God being fulfilled. It's a great battle that's going on there. But you know, God's word, what he has said, what he has promised, will come to pass. But if he can introduce into that kingdom something that's going to hinder it, something that's going to stop it, something that's going to just kind of chop the thing up, he's done his job. But God, through the preaching, this is why I said to you this morning that this is why false doctrine is so dangerous. This is why false teaching is such a problem in the church. You know, the early church, one thing they would not tolerate was false teaching. What? Now, today we're so hard on many, many things. But one thing I believe the church is really lax on, really slack on, is false doctrine. But that's really what's causing the problem. That's what's doing the damage. You say the church is worldly, well, like I said to you last night, we talk about, but that's the symptom. The real issue, the real problem today is false teaching. We don't really understand the effect it causes. Paul spoke about it in his day. He said, you know what? He said, there's a couple of guys there preaching that the resurrection's passed already. He said, now think about it. This is how serious it was to Paul. He said, I've delivered them over to Satan for the destruction. For the destruction. Why? To preach that kind of things, it's a terrible thing. It causes so much problem. And what did he say? Which what? Overthrow the faith of many. False doctrine destroys faith. False doctrine destroys the foundation. False doctrine destroys your walk with God. So Paul and the early church there were constantly warning about this, speaking about this, trying to keep the people level on the word of God. Now today in the church, people can come with false doctrine, and so much of it today is, well, I guess they've got a right to their opinion. I guess they've got a right to teach that. I wouldn't agree with that, but I guess they don't have a right to teach it. But you see, the reason we say things like that is because we're not aware of the damage it's doing. The reason we think like that is because we don't realize the poison that is inflicting upon the people. It is death. False teaching, false doctrine is absolutely death. It will kill. It will destroy. You only have to start with a little seed there and it'll go through the church and absolutely destroy a church. Now, Paul wouldn't tolerate it. Peter wouldn't tolerate it. John wouldn't tolerate it. Jude warned about it. But today we're living in it. We've become lax about those things. We're not really dealing with the things that cause the problem. We're dealing with the problem and not what caused the problem. We're addressing the problem, but we're not addressing the thing that's causing the problem. Yeah. God help us really to know what it is. Yeah. You see, really, Christian, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. We're not preaching against flesh and blood. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual wickedness. We're told in the last days that many would depart from the faith, giving what? Heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, it's not talking about the world at that time. He's talking about the church. People that are departing from the faith, it's not the world there, it's the church. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Before you can ever receive, before you can ever receive false teaching, you have got to have been under the influence of a seducing spirit. Before false teaching can ever find a bedding ground in your heart or in your mind, you have got to be around the influence of a seducing spirit. You have got to be in... that's why false teachers are what? Very, very plausible. Very, very engaging. Particularly, probably very nice people. Why? Because in many cases, there is a seduction spirit upon them. They are seducing the people. But before you can ever come under false teaching, you've got to be around that seducing spirit. God gave us the spiritual discernment to recognize those things. Amen. I remember somebody telling me one time, there was a certain person believed that we're in the millennium. Now that's crazy stuff. But you see, before they got to believe in that kind of crazy stuff, they had been around a seducing spirit. Yes. Because you see, in your natural mind, you absolutely, anybody that will believe we're in the millennium today is nuts. You know, you have to be crazy to believe that stuff. People today preach about Brother Branham coming back in an aircraft. Now we laugh about those things and make fun. We don't make fun of those people, but we think that's funny. But before you can say things like that or believe things like that, you have got to be under the influence of a seducing spirit. Let me get back to this particular person. She was preaching and believing that they were in the millennium. Brother Tommy's been around people that believe the same thing. Well, this particular girl, eventually she was in a car crash. Well, they took her to the hospital there, and so they put her in the hospital. They came along to her and said, "Do you still believe the same thing?" She goes, "Absolutely not." You see, it took a car crash. It took a hard knock to get sense back to the people. And sometimes God has to give us a bit of a knock, has to give us a bit of a shaking there, amen, to get us back to our right mind. You know, when Jesus cast the devils out of that man there at the tombs, the Bible said he was clothed, hallelujah, and in his right mind. Amen. And when Jesus saves a man, when Jesus delivers a man, he clothes him with the robes of his righteousness and puts him in the right mind. Hallelujah. Christians are not crazy people. They are people that have been clothed, hallelujah, by God, and are in their right minds. They can rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'm reading about that. I got off my subject. Excuse me. Saith the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Now, verse 17 to me is the crux of the whole problem of Laodicea. Notice this verse. Because thou sayest, remember we were preaching last night or this morning, there was a bunch of people saying something, they got the wrong, but they were saying the wrong thing. It wasn't what God was saying, it's what they were saying. Here's the same problem in the church of Laodicea today. It's not what God is saying, it's not what the faithful and true witness is saying. It's what they're saying. It's their opinion, it's their idea, it's their thought. They cannot qualify it by scripture, they cannot prove it by scripture. But that really today, it don't matter, it doesn't matter to them. It's not a foundation to them anymore. And it's getting further and further away from the truth.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the Bible is. Talk to people today. I don't care what the Bible says. Well, when you get to a place where you don't care what God's word says, you're finished.
Right.
It's over. It's gone. There's no way back from that. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Notice, and have need of nothing. And knowest thou not? Now he's speaking to the people here, which are claiming to be the church. Don't miss this. I want you to get this. He is speaking to a people here. They are claiming to be the church. Like I say, there is nothing wrong with being poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked, because that's how every one of us come to Jesus. We came poor, we came blind, we came wretched, and we came naked. We didn't come holy, we didn't come righteous, we really came to God. We came in that condition. There's nothing wrong with that condition. The problem here is the church is, they actually claim they've come to Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, you're still in that condition. Now you've got a real problem. What's the problem? They've been listening to a gospel of their message, and not the message of the gospel. Because the message of the gospel is going to clothe you. The message of the gospel is going to open your eyes. Hallelujah. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to set you free. But here's the church that's saying, oh, we're rich, we're increased with goods. We don't have any need of anything. Why would they say that? Why would they make that claim? Because they've listened to another gospel. They've listened to another gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've received, and Paul warned about it. In back in the days of the church of Galatia, there, he said, if any man or an angel comes from heaven preaching another gospel, let him be accursed.
Amen.
It's a serious thing to fool around with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a serious thing to dilute the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a serious thing to add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're living in a time when that's taking place. But you see, here's the problem. The reason they're claiming to be rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing is they're actually failing to see their condition. Well, one thing the gospel of Jesus Christ does is it opens your eyes.
Amen.
One thing the real gospel of Jesus Christ does is it's going to open your eyes. It's going to when the gospel is preached and the Spirit of God is there, it is going to convict the sinner. It is not going to pat you on the back and say, well, as long as you go to church, as long as you join this group or do this, you're in. That's not the gospel. That's the gospel of the message. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is going to convict you of sin. The message of the gospel is going to tell you you're guilty, you're poor, you're blind, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're naked, and you need a Savior.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, right.
But here's an age, here's a church that's claiming to be rich, claiming to be increased with goods. And naturally speaking, they are, but that was never God's criteria for being successful. The only criteria God has got for success is His Word.
Amen.
The only criteria God has got for being right is that you come God's way.
Amen.
That you come according to the faithful and true witness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, notice they make this great claim. Now, when a person really comes to Jesus Christ, under the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. He is clothed. He's made holy in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
He's made righteous in the blood of Jesus. So who's this group here in Laodicea? There are people that have not come under the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've come under the message of a gospel. The gospel of a message, or the good news of a message. Oh, how we hear that today. But they've not come according to the gospel. The message of the gospel of the Bible, of the Word of God. I want you to notice something also. Go with me, please, in the Gospel of John. Let's look at something. Chapter 14. Amen. Sorry, I don't want to keep you too long tonight. Excuse me. But John 14, notice. Here's Jesus. Now, here's Jesus' promise to His church. Here's the promise of Jesus Christ to His church, to His people. Notice what it said. Verse 16 of chapter 14. And I will pray the Father, and He shall come, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, what does Jesus Christ exhort Laodicea to do? He said, I'm standing at the door, knocking to get in. You see, really what Jesus is saying to Laodicea, the rebuke, the indictment of Laodicea, when He says that you're poor, you're blind, you're wretched, miserable, naked, you claim to be a church, but you're in that condition, the rebuke to Laodicea, what Jesus is actually saying there is you haven't got the Holy Ghost. You haven't got My Spirit. You're claiming you've got the Holy Ghost, but you haven't got My Spirit. You could not have the Spirit of God and be in that condition. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost and be in that condition. Now you can receive the message of the gospel of a message and remain in that condition. You can receive the gospel of a church and remain in that condition. You can join a certain organization and be in that condition. Here's the problem. Laodicea was a church, was the age that was receiving the message of the gospel of a message. The gospel of a church. The gospel of a movement, but not the message of the gospel. Because if they were receiving the message of the gospel, they could not be in that condition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What's the great need in the church today? Not for more revelation. Not for more understanding. But to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's amazing. I heard a preacher once say something. He really tickled me. I think it's not really funny. But he said, it's amazing, isn't it? Everybody's filled with the Holy Ghost. And the church is as powerless as anything. There's no victory. There's no overcoming. There's no desire. There's no love. There's no hunger. But we all claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We all claim to be we claim to have the baptism. Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost is come.
Amen.
You want the evidence of the Holy Ghost? Jesus gave us the evidence of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive, hallelujah, power.
Amen.
After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
Amen. That's the evidence of the Lord. When the Holy Ghost comes, there is a dunamis, there is a power that lives in that person. You might not go out and have a great ministry or whatever, or be a great preacher or anything like that, but nevertheless, every son or daughter, every child that receives the Holy Ghost, according to the words of her head, but she claims to be a head, Jesus said, you'll receive power.
Amen.
After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You saw, He'll reveal the Word. Yeah, that's after He's come. But when He's come, Jesus said, you'll receive power.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's get back to John. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Who's speaking to Laodicea? The faithful and true witness. Amen.
Amen.
Whose Spirit's in the church? The Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him not, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Shall be in you. But here over in the sea, He's knocking at the door trying to get in.
Amen.
Here's the church payment. It's got the Holy Ghost and their head's knocking at the door trying to get in. is what Jesus said when we receive Him. This is what is going to happen. You know, every time in the early church, in the book of Acts, you read through it, getting the Holy Ghost wasn't a problem. It wasn't a problem. The Bible says they just went down and laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a big deal. Why is it such a problem today? Why is it such an issue today? Because so many people are listening to the gospel of a message and not the message of the gospel. So many people are sitting under a wrong teaching, wrong leadership. What's it doing? What does this false teaching do? It stops the channels up. It blocks the flow. This is how dangerous false teaching is. This is how dangerous false doctrine is. It's not about whether somebody's got an opinion or he's like, get rid of that poison, it's death. It will destroy. It will kill. It will just grieve the Holy Spirit away. But before you can ever receive that nonsense, you've got to be around a seducing spirit. That's how these people get in. That's how these people have such an influence. They've got that spirit upon them to spiritually seduce the people. To spiritually seduce the people. Then when the channels are open, they receive the poison seed of that doctrine. The poison seed of false teaching. And a seed is going to embed itself. A seed is going to grow. A seed is going to produce fruit. And that fruit is going to be the fruits of spiritual death. When a church gets to a place where it doesn't need anything anymore. When a church gets to a place, you know what? It's not looking for anything anymore. It's not desiring anything. It's not hungering for anything anymore. It's in trouble.
Right.
It's in trouble. When a church gets in that condition, all will praise God, we're the bride. What an arrogance. What an ignorance of God's word. Where's the desire gone? Where's the hunger gone? Where's the longing for the things of... Where's the hunger for the relation, the love of God there? It's God, it's dead, it's died. God help us now. Reading on, it says, I will not leave you comfortless. Hallelujah, I like that. I will come to you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to his church. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But you shall see me because I live. You shall live also. At that day. What day? When the Holy Ghost has come. At that day you'll know that I am in the Father. I'm in my Father, and ye in me, and I'm in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Praise the Lord. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said, if any man love me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, notice verse 23, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Well, in the church of Laodicea, Christ is knocking to get in. But Jesus said when the Holy Ghost has come, that's what's going to happen. There is going to be a communion. There is going to be a fellowship. There is going to be a union there. But here's a church that doesn't have that union. It doesn't have that fellowship. It doesn't have that walk with God. So it's a church here that is claiming something, to have something it hasn't got. Just like back in the beginning there, Eve claimed to have something she really hasn't got. You can't argue with people that's got a claim. But I guarantee you one thing, sooner or later, those seeds are going to manifest. Sooner or later, that fruit's going to start to show itself. And no matter what is being said there, no matter what is being declared there, it is going to be produced, it is going to be manifested. God help us. Hallelujah. The great need for the church today is to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The great need for the people of God today is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, then God fill us again with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God fill us over and over and over with the Holy Ghost. You can never have enough of the Holy Ghost. You can never be filled enough with the Holy Ghost. I'd like to be filled 24/7. Spirit of God.
Amen.
But that desire is not in the church anymore. That hunger is not in the church anymore. In many cases, We think, oh, we'll just go to church, we'll hear the preacher preach, we'll hear the preacher give his sermon, and that's okay. But where, oh, where is that desire gone? Where, oh, where is that hunger gone in the hearts of the people? You know, if you've got a hunger, you should be blessed. You should be thankful that God has given you a desire.
Amen.
Has given you a hunger. You know, it's no good a preacher preaching at you. It's no good a man getting up there and talking at you. There's got to be something in your heart that's wanting to draw from God. There has got to be a hunger in you. God's not going to force himself on anyone. God's not going to push himself on anyone. If any man hears my voice, hallelujah, and opens the door.
Amen.
You've got to open the door. You've got to want to receive him. You've got to have a hunger, a desire. Well, it's a sad thing that desire is not in the church anymore. It's a sad thing that the Holy Ghost isn't preached anymore. When it's the only thing that is going to keep you.
Amen.
When it's the only thing, God's got nothing else, hallelujah. And you don't need anything else.
Amen.
Just his spirit. Just his quickening. Hallelujah. Notice, when the gospel of a message, it's not the message of the gospel, gets to a place where it really becomes just about the church. Just about the movement. Just about its founder. Just about its articles of faith and things like that. And really the message of the gospel is laid to one side. The truth of the gospel is laid to one side. That church, show me a church like that, I'll show you a dead church. Show me a church that's claiming that, I don't care how revelated it's claiming to be, how much understanding it's got of the word, I will show you a dead church. I will show you a church that's paralyzed. Can't move. It's dead. Notice, let's go to scripture in Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice something. Let's read on from verse 9 down to verse 13. Now remember Jesus' indictment for Laodicea? He's telling them, I know what you're claiming, but I'm telling you, you haven't got my spirit. Because if you had my spirit, you would not be poor, blind, wretched, miserable and naked. I know you're claiming to be rich, I know you're claiming to be increased in goods, and you are. But that's not my criteria. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Is my spirit there? Is my spirit in you? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. What an indictment to a church. What an indictment to an age.
Amen.
The message of the church today should be the Holy Ghost.
Right.
When Brother Ann spoke about a message, he spoke about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you won't hear that preached about anymore in many places. But that's the need of the church today. That's the one thing the church needs today is to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
How are you going to understand spiritual truth without the Holy Ghost? How are you going to understand, how are you going to get revelation without the great teacher? God, Jesus said when he has come, hallelujah,
Amen.
He's going to lead you into all truth.
Right.
People say it's about revelation. No, that's after he's come. When he comes, it's power, hallelujah. It's a quickening, it's a dunamis, hallelujah.
Amen.
And when he's come, then he's going to lead you into all truth. But he's got to come first. The trouble of it is we put the cart before the horse. That's why we go off on tangents. That's why we get all kinds of crazy ideas. But Jesus said you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes. After he's come, if it is the Holy Ghost, he's going to do one thing. He's going to lead you into all truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. But notice, I want you to notice. Now, look at the work of God or a move of God degenerating. Because we get from the foundation. We get from the truth. We get from God's way of doing it and it comes over into man's way of doing it. Then you've got a real problem. Then you've got an issue. Then you've got a church that's claiming to be something it's not. Then you've got a church declaring to be something it's not. Why? Because it has left the blueprint. It's moved away from God's provided way. We should never get sick of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You should never get tired of hearing the preaching of the cross. You should never get weary of hearing about the blood of Jesus. Because it's the keeping, delivering, saving power of Jesus, of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Notice. Sorry, Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. Paul speaking, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Notice, I have laid the foundation. Now, Paul's just before that told the church, he said, now don't get split up. One's of Paul, one's of Apollos, and all this kind of nonsense. He said, that's carnal. You might not be going out in the world there and doing the things of the world there. He said, but if one's of Paul, one's of Apollos, if you're in sick care and divide them with yourself, you're carnal. You're all bust up. All I can give you is a drink of milk. That's as far as we can go. I can't give you meat now. I'll just give you a drink of milk. You'll have to make do with that. You'll never grow if you're in that condition. But here he's saying, according to the grace of God, it's given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I want to ask you a question. Who laid the foundation? Who laid the foundation? According to the Bible, it was Paul. Hallelujah. Now, you can't lay any other kind of foundation. If somebody's laying another foundation, that's another gospel. That's another message. There can only be one foundation, and that's the foundation that Paul laid. There can only be one way of knowing that foundation, and that is by going back to the blueprint, back to the Word of God. Hallelujah. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation, hallelujah, praise God, can no man lay than that which is laid. Which is laid. Not what's going to be laid. Which is laid. You see, there's got to be a place you go to. This is why you have a message. It can only take you back. It cannot add. It cannot improve. It can only take you back. If it's taking you somewhere else, it's another message. It's another gospel. And it's dead. A true message of God will only take you back to a true foundation. And the true foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the Word. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. But notice, it says that, but no other, you can't lay any other foundation. There's no other foundation you can lay than the one Paul laid. Hallelujah. Paul, as the brother Aaron said, basically wrote the New Testament. He took the Gospels and so forth and just explained it out in the epistles. He took the Old Testament types, the Old Testament laws, and gave us those epistles, gave us those letters. Under the inspiration of God, Paul really wrote the New Testament. Gave us the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, of course, we have Peter, we have Jude, we have John, that is correct. But really, the message of the Gospel, the message to the Gentile church, as we know, came through Paul. Hallelujah. He was the vessel that God used. So, but look at what it says now. Now, if any man, now notice, now if any man builds upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, but look, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. See, manifesting time. There's coming a time when what has been claimed, what has been said, is going to be manifest. And if it's on the wrong foundation, or if it's not the foundation of God, it's going to be manifest. No matter what they say, it'll be manifest. You cannot keep from it. God has ordained it's going to be that way. But now look what's happening here. Really, Paul's not talking about another foundation. He's talking about a true foundation. But Paul's warning here is that every man take heed how he builds thereon. Prior to that, he talked about, just a few verses before this, he talked about another foundation, the foundation of men and so forth. But now he's talking about the right foundation, but he's warning, he said, now you be careful how you build on that foundation. You watch how you build on that foundation. So the issue isn't really about the foundation now. The issue is going to be, is how we are building on that foundation. The problem is not going to be about the foundation, but what's being built on the foundation. Now when a genuine move of God starts, when a genuine move of God starts, if it's a move of God, then it is going to start God's provided way. It is going to start the way God ordained and intended for that move to start. Notice Paul spoke about, firstly, when you build on that foundation, he spoke about gold and silver, precious stones. When a move of God starts, it starts with gold. Gold is deity. Gold is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When a real move of God starts, then the principal theme is going to be Jesus Christ. The message is going to be Jesus Christ. Then it's going to be about silver. Well, silver, the Bible speaks about redemption. Hallelujah. So when the move of God starts, the gospel is going to be the gospel of the Bible. And it's going to be about Jesus Christ. It's going to be about gold manifest to redeem you. Hallelujah. But then Paul went on to say, but then after precious stones, what's the precious stones? That's those little pearls of truth.
Amen.
Glory. That's those little pearls of truth that you ought to look. But coming from the revelation of Jesus Christ, coming from God manifest to redeem you. Hallelujah. When it starts in the correct way. But after a while, there's a deterioration. After a while, it gets to a place where it becomes more about the move than it does about the one that gave the move. It becomes more about the work there than it does about the one that's giving the work. So Paul said, after a while, they're going to start building wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to get away from the gospel of the message, and it's going to be the gospel of their message. It's not going to be the message of the gospel anymore. It's not going to be about gold anymore. It's not going to be about silver anymore. It's not going to be about precious stones anymore, coming from the gold and coming from the silver. These precious truths coming from the great redemption. You know, the Bible's just a book of redemption.
Amen.
The Bible's just a story of redemption.
Right.
Hallelujah. Those precious stones in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we have those little precious stones. We can pick them up, we can polish them, we can preach them, we can preach how God called a man called Abraham out of the clouds and brought him over the promised land. We can preach about a man called Noah. Hallelujah. We can preach about a man called Samson. We can preach about a man called Elijah. We've got examples in the Bible about how God spoke the message of redemption. Reveal the plan of redemption through their lives, through their walk, through their ministry. All their precious stones, their gems,
amen,
their great truths.
Right.
But it's all about redemption. Everything that's happened in the lives of those men in the Bible was revealing the plan of redemption. It wasn't really revealing another plan. It wasn't revealing the plan of a church or a movement. It was revealing God's redemptive plan. It was revealing that gold was manifest to redeem us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when we read our Bibles and we read those stories, we can see, praise all those precious stones. Don't the Bible say you're living stones?
Yes. Amen.
Don't the Bible call us living stones?
Amen.
Well, we've got some precious stones in God's Word. We've got some precious stones, precious lives in God's Word that we can go to. And we can see, hallelujah, that through their lives, through their walk, through their ministry, there was a message being proclaimed.
Yeah, right.
A plan of redemption is being revealed.
Amen.
A work of redemption is being revealed. But one day, God was going to come to earth. Hallelujah, was going to die. And His very life's coming back into the church. The great plan of redemption is unfolding. It's outworking. The God that was above us, the God that walked with us, is now in us, in His church, living in us. All those precious stones are good. We can spend a long time taking those stones and polishing them. We can spend a long time dwelling on those precious stones, on those precious stories. But it's all about redemption. It's all about the redemption plan. The redemption truth. As I've preached, I think I've preached it here before. Remember, the work of redemption is a finished work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The work of redemption is a finished work. The plan of redemption is ongoing. Will be till Jesus comes and the whole thing gets stoned up. But the work of redemption is a finished work. Finished 2,000 years ago. It's over. It's taken care of. The work of redemption. You're not saved by the plan of redemption. You're saved by the work of redemption.
Amen.
The plan of redemption just showed you how to get it. But unless you've received the work of redemption, you can see the plan until it don't make any. It's not the plan don't save you. You don't live in the plan. You live in the work. Hallelujah. I can show you the great plan of a beautiful house. I can get all excited about it. So what's going to be a beautiful place? It's going to be a wonderful place. But until it's built, hallelujah, I can't live in it. You know, God in His grace, He showed us the plan. Then He did the work.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're saved by the work of redemption. It's finished. It's over. That's why in the book of Revelation they said, thou hast redeemed us, and you have made us kings and priests
The redemption plan is a finished work. In your life, my brother and sister, if you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the finished work. When Paul went down to Galatia and preached to the Galatians there, he said, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified amongst you. What was he preaching? He was preaching a finished work.
If Paul was preaching a crucified Christ, he's preaching a finished work.
When you preach a crucified Christ, you are preaching a finished work.
Hallelujah. When you preach the cross, you are preaching a finished work.
But you know what? As a bunch of preachers got through there, and you know what? They bewitched the people. They fooled the people. They put a spell on the people.
They thought, you know what? There's something more we need to do. When they did that, you see, Satan always wants to get you away from a finished work in your life.
Amen.
Satan always wants to draw you away from a finished work in your life. Satan will always take you from the cross.
But God will always take you back to the cross.
Amen.
Because that's when God's taking you back to the cross. What you say? Listen, son. Listen, Lord. I'm pointing you back to a finished work.
That's right.
I'm pointing you back to an accomplished. It's done. That's why today, there's a gospel of a message. It's not the message of the gospel. There's a gospel of a message. It's not the message of the gospel. The gospel of a message will always say, you know what? There's something more you need. The gospel of a message, you'll say, that's fine, the cross is okay, that's fine. But that's just part of the process. That, when you hear that, all that's the whispers of Satan. When you hear that, that is a poison of Satan moving into the church. But the message of the gospel will point you to a finished work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's
Amen.
Over, it's finished, it is done. Oh, hallelujah, blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But you see, there's a deterioration. There's a moving away from the gold and from the silver and from the precious stones.
Right.
And now it becomes wood, hay, and stubble.
Notice the foundation hasn't changed. It's what's being built on the foundation that's changed.
It's what's being... You understand what I'm saying to you? It's what's being built on that foundation. And let me tell you something. Wood, hay, and stubble burn awfully quick. Wood, hay, and stubble, brother, it goes up like a torch.
It's not resilient. When that fire comes, it burns for it. It's not going to stand.
But the gold, hallelujah. Didn't Jesus tell the others here, buy of me what? Gold tried in the fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's his character. Hallelujah. Anoint your eyes with oil that thou mayest see. Hallelujah.
Get away from the gospel of the message and come to the message of the gospel.
Amen.
That's the shaping that God would send to the church today. That's the message God would send to the church today. If you're looking to a church, if you're looking to a movement, if you're looking to a group, if you're looking to a man, you are listening to the gospel of a message and not the message of the gospel. Or it might sound good, but it can't save you. It might sound good, but it can't keep you. It might sound good, but it's not going to hold you. It's going to burn. Why? Because it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's not going to stand. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, when Peter on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Ghost has come, he took that gold, hallelujah, and he preached redemption. He took that gold and he gave that silver.
What must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus
Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. He took the gold, he preached the silver.
Pointed back to some of them precious stones. Went back there and said, you know, there was a precious stone by the name of Joel the prophet.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Said, it'll come to pass in the last days.
Amen.
I'm going to pull my spirit out upon all flesh. This is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that precious stone that spoke.
Right.
Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Hallelujah. Oh, you can build on that foundation. You can stand on that foundation. You can rest on that foundation. This is that that was spoken by the prophet John.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That gold, this same Jesus who you crucified by wicked hands, has God, hallelujah, exalted to be a prince.
Glory! And that's gold to me, my brother. That's gold, hallelujah.
Peter said he sent him to save you from your sins. That's silver.
That's redemption.
Amen.
There's no other name. No other name.
Amen.
Whereby men may be saved.
I know today we people don't like another name. But God's got no other name.
Hallelujah. People are searching for another name.
They're looking for another name. They're looking for another channel. But there's no other name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's no other name whereby we must be saved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I like the gold.
I like the silver. I like the precious stones.
I like those precious stones. Hallelujah. Blessed be. They tell me the old story.
Amen.
They tell me the story of redemption. One day God came down. And the lives of those prophets, those men, those women in the Bible, just foreshadowed that great work of redemption, that great purpose of redemption. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Philip went down to Samaria. He took that gold. And the Bible said he preached Christ. He didn't preach his group. He didn't preach his movement.
He didn't say, boys, I want you to know John the Baptist was a prophet.
The Bible said he preached Christ. See, when the Holy Ghost is come,
amen,
he's only going to do one thing. He's going to point you to Jesus Christ.
He's going to point you to the one that came to save you. He's not going to point you anywhere else. If he's pointing you somewhere else, I tell you, you're building the wrong foundation. It's doomed. It's going to die. It's going to burn. It's going to perish. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. The Bible said there was great joy in the city.
Amen.
Signs, wonders, and miracles.
Right. Demons. Yeah. See, demons tremble at the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, demons don't like gold. Demons don't like silver.
All right.
Demons don't like precious stones. Oh, you can talk about your movement, you can talk about your group, you can talk about your church, but keep away from the gold, keep away from the silver, keep away from those precious stones. Hallelujah. Peter didn't have any silver or gold.
Quite a thing for the first pope, isn't it?
Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have,
amen,
give I thee.
Amen.
Well, he was rich, made none of the leaves of the world, but he was rich in God. He had the gold, he had the silver, he had the precious stones.
He could go back to the Bible, he could go back to the redemption plan and show the people. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice when Paul went over, let's just finish on saying this, I'm sorry. Have I talked too long? Pardon me. Let's just finish, I'm sorry to keep you. But let's look at, where is it? Acts chapter 19. And I'll finish on talking about this. Let's begin reading at verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought under the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Hallelujah. He's still the same yesterday.
Amen.
Notice verse 13. And certain of the vagabond Jews, the exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had unclean spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.
What was their mistake? They were preaching the gospel, their message, not the message of the gospel. You cannot preach a second-hand gospel. Second-hand gospels don't set anybody free. A second-hand gospel doesn't bring deliverance. A second-hand gospel won't save you.
They thought, you know what, let's get over it.
You see, those demons, they didn't recognize the foundation.
They said, well, we know Paul, we know Jesus, but who are you? Hallelujah. No matter what Paul's doing, what are you doing?
Amen.
Praise God. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew. Now, these people were religious. These people weren't renegades and so forth, or rogues. They were religious people. But you can't, a second-hand gospel is not going to help you. A second-hand gospel is not going to do anything. And an evil spirit answers. You see, the devil even knows that. The devil will recognize gold, he'll recognize silver, he'll recognize precious stones, but he's not going to recognize a second-hand gospel. And he won't recognize a second-hand experience. Praise God. He won't hear me. He won't recognize a second-hand experience. It's not the experience that Mama had. It's not the experience that Dad had. It's not the experience that Brother So-and-so had. You've got to have your own experience with God.
Amen.
That's the only thing the devil's going to recognize. That's the only thing the devil's going to see. And he said, Jesus I know and Paul I know. Wouldn't it be good to be known to the demons like that? Hallelujah.
You know, I think there's a man called Ned Reagan, and he said, you know what, I've got a great desire. He said, I want to be the most wanted man in hell.
I want to be the most wanted man in hell.
Know what he meant? That when that name's mentioned, devils tremble.
Not because of Leonard Ravenhill, but because of what is in Leonard Ravenhill. Not because of Andrew Beecham, because of what is in Andrew Beecham. Not because of any Brother Tommy or Brother John or any other brother, but what is in those men. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed. Oh, there's a lot of devils today overcoming. There's a lot of demons today leaping on the people and overcoming them.
Why? Too many second-hand experiences. Too many people listening to the gospel of the message and not the message of the gospel. Laodicea proves it. Laodicea tells us that. That's why Jesus was saying, you know what, you church, you need to be in the age of Laodicea, you need the Holy Ghost. You need my spirit. Oh, but I can get along just well without it. One day you're going to find you can't. One day you're going to find that you need it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he prevailed against them, and they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell upon them. And the name... Notice when the Holy Ghost is there. When Christ is preached. When that gold is proclaimed. When that silver is declared. The Bible says the name of Jesus was magnified.
Amen.
It don't tell us the name of Paul was magnified. It doesn't say the name of Paul was exalted. It doesn't say the name of Paul was promoted. It says the name, hallelujah, of Jesus was magnified.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost moves, if it's the genuine Holy Ghost, it is going to do one thing. It is going to exalt Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is going to magnify Jesus Christ. If it's lifting up a man, if it's lifting up anything else, it is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was sent to bear witness of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost was sent to glorify Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. I like that. The name of Jesus was magnified. Praise God. And many... Now notice...
When that gold's preached, it's going to do something. When that silver's put forth, it's going to do something.
When the Spirit of God begins to deal with the people, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. Oh God, we need another good soaking of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We need a good, some old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. Trouble of it is, so many people's happy with the gospel of their message. You need the message of the gospel. You need the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many came, and many believed and came, and what? Confessed their deeds. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God will deal with sin.
Amen.
The Spirit of God will go to the root cause of the problem. It won't cover things up. It won't just make things nice and happy. Let's get along as well. The Holy Ghost will deal with the problem.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When that gold's preached, when that gold starts to get put, when that silver's put forth, demons are going to get, they're going to scatter. They're going to run, they're going to go.
Yes.
Praise be to God. They came and confessed and showed their deeds. They didn't, you see, when the Holy Ghost comes, it doesn't produce a bunch of hypocrites. When the Holy Ghost moves, it doesn't produce a bunch of hypocrites. It doesn't come along and say, well, let's just cover it up. Let's just, I'll dress right, I'll look right, I'll say all the right things. But when the Holy Ghost moves, it's going to deal with your heart. It's going to go right to the root cause of the problem. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's going to set you free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're
going
to come in and say, Lord, I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've got this in my life. Lord, I want you to deal with it. The Spirit of God doesn't produce hypocrites. Religion is what produces hypocrites. A gospel of a message is what's going to produce hypocrites. But the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. The message of the gospel.
Amen.
It's going to set you free. It's going to set you free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sorry, I'm closing. Verse 19. And many of them also which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men.
Amen.
And they counted the price of them, and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. You know, Satan had a real good hold on those people. But he's the same devil today. And in so many cases, he's got the same kind of hold on the people. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. When that gold is preached,
amen.
When that silver is put forth, the word of God is going to grow and it's going to prevail. Amen. Oh
amen.
God, don't leave it to chance. Get the Holy Ghost. Get that power in your life.
Amen.
Get that dynamis in your life. You say it would be such an embarrassment for me. I've been in church so long. I'd be so embarrassed to admit to that. Don't ever be embarrassed to admit to your need. Don't ever be ashamed to admit to your need. And even today that you've got the Holy Ghost, God, give me another filling.
Amen.
God, send me another quickening. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come, you're going to receive it.
Hallelujah.
That's what the church needs today. But it's got a claim. It's got a false claim. But Jesus, that's not fooling Jesus. He can see through the whole thing. He said, I know what you're saying, but you're poor, you're blind, you're rich, you're wretched, you're miserable and naked. Why? What he's telling Church of Laodicea is you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's an indictment. You don't have my Spirit. I know you claim to have it, but you haven't got it. Because when he has come, when that gold has come, when that silver has come, hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's bow our heads for prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just commit what has been said this evening, Lord, into your hands. May the Holy Spirit, Lord, quicken it to the hearts of the people, or just reveal it to the hearts of the people. If there be people here tonight, Lord, and I know there are, that need the Holy Ghost, I pray, God, that you'll move upon their hearts. That you won't give them peace, Lord, until, Lord, they come to the place and say, until they seek your face, until there's a desire. Not just to come out in one meeting, Lord, but in the days and times ahead, they'll just seek your face, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Father, that they'll really get concerned about the foundation. Lord, what are they building on that foundation? What are they resting on that foundation? Is it gold? Is it silver? Or is it wood? Hey, and stubble. Oh God, pray today, Lord, that you'll help the people, Lord. You'll open our eyes, Lord, and our hearts to your word, to the drawing of your Holy Spirit, which is here right now in Jesus' name. Oh God, may we be just honest enough and sincere enough, Lord, just to come before you tonight and say, God, I need that in my life. I need that in my life. There's something lacking. I know you, it deep down in my heart. Lord, I know that there's something missing. Lord, God, don't let them get any peace. Don't let them get any rest, Lord, until they meet God. Until they hear from God. Jesus said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Oh God, please, Father, Lord, don't let nobody miss. But Lord, let each one be filled with the Holy Ghost. And tonight I would pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for each of us here that have received that experience. Oh God, how we would need another experience. How we would long for another touch. How we would long for a fresh quickening in our lives, Father. Lord, your disciples at Pentecost, just a few weeks after Pentecost, Lord, not very long after Pentecost, Lord, they asked and just came before you and prayed. But God, you just give them another filling, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, they had a desire, Lord, to preach the word of God with boldness. That's what I was going to preach on tonight, Lord, but I felt you'd change it. But Lord, they wanted the Holy Ghost not for entertainment, Lord. Lord, not just for a sensation or a feeling, Lord. But that, Lord, they may speak your word with boldness.
Amen.
Oh God, I pray tonight for each one here, myself, every one of us here tonight, God, that Lord, would you grant that, Lord? Could you give us the Holy Ghost? Another filling, another refilling, another shaking, Lord, of your Spirit. God, we need it, Lord. We need it, Lord. But you have said in your word, ask and you shall receive. So, Father, hear us tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, give us a believing heart tonight. Give us a heart that just rests in your promise, rests in your word. God, I pray that, Lord, fruit shall come of these little services that you've given us.
Amen.
I pray, God, it won't just be a weekend of just words being spoken, but that, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will do his work in the hearts and lives and the minds of your children, Lord. I'm praying, God, that, Lord, you won't let it rest, Lord, until, Father, people, Lord, get serious with you, Lord. Mean business with you, Lord. We all do need that, Lord. God, touch our hearts today. Touch us today with your holy presence, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe your word. Lord, it doesn't have to be a feeling. I know that you're here, Lord. You set your word said so. But I'm asking tonight, God, that, Lord, you just open the channels, you open the doors. And, Lord, would it be possible, Lord, to just pour out your Spirit upon this dry and thirsty ground? In Jesus' name tonight. Lord, God, would you move upon people's hearts tonight, God, that they can humble themselves. That, Lord, they can get away from just a religion, Lord, and come into a living experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord, our sins. Forgive those who trespass against us, Lord. God, if there be any unforgiveness in our heart, if there be any resentment in our heart toward a brother or a sister, I pray tonight, God, that you'll deal with that, Lord. You'll take it out, Lord. God, if we're holding grudges tonight, Lord, take it out of our hearts, Lord, we pray. Lord, we want to be open. We want the channels to be open, Lord, to allow the Holy Ghost to be able to move. We want to be able to bear witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would you grant it tonight, Lord, I pray. Help us, we pray, as we wait upon you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, keep me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Let's make it a prayer.
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this searching of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me
Is anyone here tonight that needs the Holy Ghost? Is anyone here tonight you feel God's been speaking to your heart? I want to just say to you, just yield to the Holy Spirit. Don't fight it. Don't let it pass you by. Say, Lord, tonight I want to just be open. Lord, I want to be honest with you tonight. Lord, I know you've been speaking to me. I know you've been dealing with me. Lord, tonight I want to be honest with you. Lord, I don't just want a religion. I don't want to be on a foundation of wood, hay, and stubble. Lord, I want to be on that foundation of gold and silver and precious stones. Lord, I want you to fill my heart tonight with your presence. I want you to touch me tonight with your Holy Spirit. God, I want you to meet with me tonight in the name of Jesus. I want you to help me tonight. God's been, if you feel that in your heart, I'm going to invite you to come tonight. We're going to pray with you tonight. Come on, church, let's get serious with God. It's not about just going to church. Let's get serious about these things. Let's get desperate about these things. There's going to be a day when so many people are going to stand there. And they're going to be the ones that Jesus spoke about over in Laodicea. You didn't have my Spirit. You didn't have it. God help us tonight.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up.